Hey everyone, you're tuned into the False Graves podcast. I'm your host, AK Baby Doo, the Lightbringer.
And I am Zephyrman.
Crickets, yes. I know that you're asking. We are eating crickets. However, the official date, it's now live. The official date, next Wednesday. Let me pull up the official date. October 9th, we will be eating live crickets. For those who view us on YouTube, you'll be getting the full visual experience. For those who listen to us only on audio, you're going to get a wonderful ASMR treat.
Here's a cricket. Crunch, crunch. We're going to take a couple out. We're going to touch them with our hands. Hey, maybe we can play that little violin they got on their legs. So
the order is in, and actually, it initially was estimated to arrive today. I was a little bit hesitant to go ahead and confirm to our viewers it was going to be this stream because I'm like, well, what if it ends up running late? And people who know me well know I'm a bit of a neurotic. And the level of stress that kind of, you know, tight deadline would have done to my soul, it would have really crippled me. It might have even brought me from the light into the darkness.
Well, I mean, you put the anal into retentive.
But as always, the universe has rewarded my choice by not delivering our crickets today. Mm. And so now I know I made the right choice and that God was with me every step of the way.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was hungrier than some of them FEMA kids, bro.
You actually have been on a 2 to 3 day fast into this?
If we're going to give the people what they want, I want to give it all. I want to be eating them like those people off Fear Factor, man.
Do you think there's a market for live crickets?
I mean, they've been in business for 15 years.
You know, you got to think like, you know, maybe somebody's buying them, like, you donate them, FEMA, something like that.
Oh, my God.
You know, like, back on those commercials where it'd be like, for 5 cents a day,
in the arms of the angels,
you can feed a starving African child.
Fly away.
1 pound of crickets will feed 3 children for a week.
For 25 cents more, you can upgrade them to 2 buckets of worms.
Oh, man.
God.
Food is food, you know? Circle of life.
Circle of death.
Hakuna Matata. It's a wonderful phrase.
It means no worries.
Yeah. For the rest of your days.
And if you're eating crickets, it's probably coming a lot faster than
and so, given we're going to have our crickets, you know, relatively soon compared to when we do our next live stream, I'm actually going to be taking up cricket farming.
Mm. And we've actually decided to co-parent on this one. He's going to be doing 99.9% of the work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring in that hefty 1%.
He's going to be, you know, the distant dad who works on a boat who comes around and sees, sees his kids 1 or 2 times every month.
Yeah, and then just like, I've already got a beer in my hand. I'm like, what the hell? Poor crickets. Oh, God. I got a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are made for human consumption, right?
Yeah, well, they're human consumable.
Okay. So, is there somebody doing quality assurance on the flavor?
I'm thinking no.
Well, I don't want anything slimy and unsatisfying. I want something crunchy.
Dude, imagine you're one of the guys working at the cricket farm, and like part of the incentive you get with your employment is you get free meals, courtesy of the premium crickets. And the meals are just like
There's cricket soup, cricket taco, cricket mush.
And they've done away. This company, they're so forward thinking and they care about their employees so much. They've done away with the pizza party. Okay. Guys, it's a cricket party.
Guys, you know what? You've really busted those numbers out of the park. You know what? Please don't say crickets. Please don't say crickets. Please.
You know what? Just for today, go ahead and eat any cricket you like. Any cricket you see, it's yours.
Even the top shelf, guys. Even the top shelf. The big ones that look like they can bite you back.
Mm. Speaking of crickets, I'm pretty sure I can hear a delivery truck outside my house right now. That might be them now.
Oh, you guys, you might be seeing our next snack.
But before we get into the pod tonight, I want to give a bit of a prelude. Last week, Furman was in a very, you know, odd disposition, let's say.
I was in the darkness.
A bit in the darkness. And this week, a little bit of the darkness is carried over to me. And I'm actually planning to take a back seat, kind of relax, ease in, you know, ease into this pod, see what the Furman has to offer for our clients at home.
We're going to play a little game. Everybody at home. We're going to play.
Don't say, would you rather?
Well, I'm not going to now. You ruined it. We're going to play Hedonist of the Week.
Okay.
Hedonist of the Week. Ding.
Who we got?
Let's see. I'm thinking, and this is just spitballing. As a matter of fact, Hawk Tuin.
Mm.
As a matter of fact.
Okay.
I would like to put her as Hedonist of the Week.
Okay.
And that's because she has brought so much joy with just a little bit of time that she was given. And she's riding it.
For sure. Not just spitting on it.
Not just Hawk Tuin. She's putting the work in. She's got the two hands. She's Indian burning that sumbitch.
You know, I had talked about her celebrity being a product of darkness. So I agree. Hedonist, for sure. The way that she's maintained her celebrity, quite successfully. She's hit a point where there's a point of celebrity where you know you've made it when you've, like, bypassed the second and third threshold.
Mm.
And that is when you become so big that people attempt to themselves become big off your name.
Mm.
And so she's hit that point in her celebrity where a lot of content creators are literally banking off of her to create content that gets views.
Oh, yeah. And it's mostly hate stuff, which is just so sad.
You go on YouTube, you go on TikTok, and you'll see people making memes about the Hawk Tua podcast and all of that. And even though, you know, I, of course, think her celebrity is a net negative, I do want to pick up one point. It's a critique. There's one issue I'm really having with the Hawk Tua content that I'm seeing, are the reactions to it. There was an initial wave of just straight negativity. I mean, to be fair, that's okay. But it's what's coming now. Now that she's kind of cemented herself as someone who's going to be continuing to do a podcast, I'm seeing a lot of people comment this phrase. Yeah, she's cool. She's down to earth. But is she really podcast worthy? Podcast worthy. And that is what I take issue with.
Oh, so this is going to be one of those phrases you don't like. This is the morning pick-me-up of the art world.
True. I don't like... I legitimately hate the phrase morning pick-me-up. But there's a way of thinking behind the words podcast worthy that bothers me greatly.
It just jostles your jimmies in a wrong way?
Certainly so.
Mm.
And it's... what is podcast worthy and what isn't? And I would argue all that it takes to be podcast worthy is that you start a podcast and you do one. That's it.
And you stick with it.
There's nothing more than that. And part of the reason I think that way is because I genuinely don't believe I don't believe any content creator today is providing true value in people's lives outside of entertainment.
I mean, that's arguably so. I mean, there's people out there, you got your John Delaney's and stuff like that, your self-help gurus and whatnot, mm-hmm. Therapy Gecko even, which I love his stuff. Therapy Gecko, Eating the crickets for you, baby. Eating the crickets for you.
The reason I believe podcasting and celebrity as a whole is an entertainment game versus a value game is because the most value anyone can get in their lives is going to come from their own experiences, their own personal experience. If you want to learn something, just go fuck up a bunch of shit and you'll learn.
Yeah, the first step of getting kind of good at something is sucking out a whole lot of shit.
Yeah, like Jordan Peterson says, make your bed. Well, how about try not making your bed and then see what kind of filthy piece of shit you feel like when you come home and then you sleep in an unmade bed.
Yeah, which, I mean, that right up there, that is right akin to getting grazed across the nuts for me.
I just don't believe in this. What is podcast worthy? I don't know a single creator that I listen to that puts out content that enriches my life outside of something to pass the time when I'm bored.
So you find most of your enjoyment out of art being just the enjoyment of it.
Yeah, I just find a lot of things redundant. A lot of things are just, what's the spiciest way I can say rehashed knowledge?
Yeah, everything does feel kind of reused, rehashed, reworded.
Yeah, I think it's an entertainment game. And she, even if her podcast is, you know, it's kind of boring, whatever, of course she's podcast worthy. Like, I could compare Hawk Tua to any self-help guru and get the same amount of benefit to my life, genuinely.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's one thing. Like, art, this is going to sound very pretentious, but please just follow me on this one. Art is always subjective. I don't believe for a second that Andy Warhol's picture of a Campbell soup is anywhere. It's on technical, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But on that same point, Leonardo da Vinci's like whole circle man, the Venn diagram of man, that has a lot more both expression and personality to it.
Yeah.
Andy Warhol just painted a tin can.
I think the reason why I think Andy Warhol was so successful was he was a social master. And his art, more than just being art, represented the hypocrisy of what people value. And I think that's part of what caused people to buy into it. Before Andy, most artists in history only were wealthy in their grave, right? Like
Vincent van Gogh.
They spent their whole life making wonderful creations. And then it wasn't until they just went and kicked the bucket that anyone gave two fucks about what they were actually making.
Yeah, and I mean, like, that's understandable. When the source is gone, then that's when people want it.
Yeah, but Andy flipped it. He managed to create this crazy amount of value for very everyday, you know, everyday things. Campbell soup cans, bananas, etc. And he did it while he was still alive. And I think he did it because he played to people's need for value.
I think that he was just the original rage baiter.
You think he rage baited?
Oh, rage baited all over the place.
He certainly did.
No, I mean, think about it. Like, you're going to go ahead and put a urinal in with actual pieces. An actually used urinal. And you're telling me you're not taking the piss. Like, come on. Yeah,
people would be like, oh, people are paying millions of dollars for a print of a soup can. Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. What has value is just what we assign value to. It's just what we assign value to. Facts. That's it. And a lot of people have put value on Hawk Tooing.
I mean, that is the only way to add value to someone's life.
That's the only way?
Oh, I mean, it's every time I've ever received a Hawk Tua.
It's added value?
Every time.
I would agree with that. I can certainly agree there.
I mean, there's a certain level of love that Hawk Tooing gives a person, you know? It's just one of those things. You went out of your way to go that extra step. You deserve a promotion.
I mean, Monica Lewinsky, she knew.
Oh, dude, she hawked to it, and the whole nation thanked her for it.
Bill thought she was providing value as a secretary.
Well, I mean, he needed to blow off steam before he blew up Cubans. You gotta...
Speaking of secretaries blowing you, I want to talk about the relationship between fear and virtue. And this is going to be the value-added segment of the night. for those at home who are desperate to get some insight and not just hear us dick around, this is it. Fear and virtue and how they're related. Most people are not virtuous by nature. I think people are mostly good, but virtuous, not so much. Mm. We all know somebody who talks down on the successful.
Oh, yeah.
Who talks down on the very attractive people. Who talks down on, let's say, the playboys of our time. And they talk about these people like they're shameful and they don't have virtue.
Oh, you mean the Chads that are in there and then all the fat guys in the back that are like, you know, well, he's just a big meathead. That's all he has to offer.
Yeah. But it's totally different when you have to think, what led you to not indulge in the same vices as this person? Mm-hmm. So let's say Bezos, for instance, is worth hundreds of billions of dollars. And people might go, oh, he's so material. Oh, he's probably a shallow man. He probably doesn't have the relationships with my family like I do. He's probably just a, you know, a mean, shallow billionaire.
Harumph, harumph, harumph.
At the same time, the people who say these things have some envy in them. A lot of them do. They have this envy for his material wealth. They have this envy for his success. And you got to think, what led you to not living a life like he did?
Probably 18 trillion, quadzillion, shabadaloo, zillions of dollars.
Well, I'm going, like, is it because you decided, okay, you know what? Material wealth is not the most important thing. I want to be a balanced person and live a good life. So I'm going to consciously choose not to be as successful as Jeff Bezos. Is that what led you to not, you know, be Jeff Bezos? Or is it that you were lazy when he wasn't lazy? You were dumb when he wasn't dumb. You didn't take risk when he took risk. Was it your actual vices and the negative parts of your personality that led you to not being able to have a similar vice to him?
See, I think that you're onto something there, but I also think, and this is a side note, like I think that there might be a little bit of history behind hating on the rich.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Now, back in the day, the only way to become rich was either A, be incredibly smart, or B, be born into it, and it was just going to be past you no matter how stupid you got.
Right.
Now, when a rich person does some crazy P. Diddy shit, then yeah, by all means, those people need to be hated on. You went too far. You went, there is a level of acceptable wackiness. You want to go ahead and open up a beef farm? That's fine. You know what, Kanye? If you want to go ahead and start painting, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you're hosting orgies with thousands of bottles of baby lube...
Back on the Diddy.
I can't help it. I see it everywhere I go nowadays. It's the new apocalypse.
Well, no, I get hating on somebody like Diddy. I'm just going, people want to find comfort in the fact that they're not... So anyone can get a cheap vice. We all know what those are. Smoking, drinking. Drugging. Anyone can go out and get a smoke, get a drink, what have you.
Or drugs.
But not everyone can go out and, you know, buy a mansion or sleep with a bunch of women or do all these things. Not everybody can do that. But those same people will go ahead and try and put themselves on a moral pedestal, even though if they could snap their fingers and have it, they would probably do it.
Mm.
And so you're really not virtuous at all, because the truth is it was your laziness or your cowardice that led you to be in this so-called virtuous position.
Well, is it that or is it laziness?
Well, yeah, laziness is a part of it.
Yeah.
Which is a vice in and of itself.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not going to lie. It's probably one of my favorite vices. It allows me to both be condescending and a complete tool with minimal effort. Like, I'm not going to lie. When it comes down to going out, I would rather call. I'm not going to lie. I almost get a physical high from canceling plans last minute. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
He does. And being late to podcasts.
Oh, seriously. It's better than... It's the best feeling in the world just to be able to be like, oh, I've got something to do. but I'm not gonna do it.
But what I want to say, you know, fear and virtue and its relationship is when you make your choices, you need to be making them based on, am I consciously making this choice because I'm a good person? Or am I just making it because I'm a lazy person? There's a huge difference in the actual virtue, but because of your potential.
Yeah, well, there's a thin line between being actually virtuous, like living a minimalistic lifestyle because you care about the environment and you don't want to add to the problem and you recycle and you're a vegetarian that grows their own crickets, versus somebody that's a minimalist because they spend all their money on heroin. Like, there's just a wild amount of variables, because self-righteousness does not equal virtuous.
Oh, it never does. Self-righteousness is not virtue.
Yeah, and if you think that, like, laziness is one of the worst ones that you can have, self-righteousness is so much worse. Lazy people typically know they're lazy. They just enjoy being lazy. Yeah. Self-righteous people are going, nope, I mean, I might have ran over a kid, but, you know, paid for the hospital bills. That was pretty nice of me.
Self-righteousness is the least seductive trait possible in a human being.
It's almost that borderline between confidence and then just being a douche.
Well, those tend to go hand in hand.
Well, no, because confidence is being confident in yourself, being able to, you know, tackle new things and become a better person by, you know, kind of pushing your way through adversity. Being a douche is just doing whatever the hell you want,
mm-hmm.
because you can. Nobody's going to stop you, or at least you don't think they will.
Yeah. And see, I'm just saying, go ahead, and before you decide this is good, this is bad, you need to understand, are you saying that because you're capable, or because you're actually just fearful and are taking the easier route? And like I said, cowardice is never rewarded in history. It's not even rewarded in fiction. There's never a story where somebody chose the easy route and was considered a good person for it.
No. They got, shit. No? Yeah, no. Just regular no. Fuck.
And yeah, so people asking about crickets, the official cricket eating is happening next Wednesday.
Join us live.
The shipment, for me, is late. It's not here today. So we're going to have to postpone it till next week.
Otherwise, you'd be able to hear him in the background. This man got us the mega box, the creme de la creme, the premium crickets, the top shelf guys.
I did. These are the crickets you'd find in a 3-star Michelin restaurant.
Could you imagine working for these guys instead of, like, pizza parties?
Cricket parties.
You know what, guys? You know what? On the house, please don't say cricket party. Please don't say cricket party. Please.
Cricket party. Cricket party.
You guys can even, you know what? We'll give you one from the top shelf, 3 from the middle, and you can have all you can eat from the bottom. On us.
That'd be crazy, man.
Man, I wonder if they age like Wagyu. Like, this one has been kept in a dark box by itself, being played soothing music.
Yeah.
It is the juiciest of crickets.
Damn! He's thick. Them legs, boy.
The thickest crickets out.
Them dummy thick cricks.
In the days following up to us eating the crickets, I am going to be nurturing them. I'm going to be feeding them. So maybe we'll put some weight on them before we get into the eating.
Yeah, because anything with thin thighs, I don't eat.
I'm planning on feeding the crickets some pineapple.
Mmm.
They say that carries over.
Oh, yeah. The girl back home, she's going to thank you for it.
Yeah, man. So what do you got? What do you got for me?
Oh, man, let's see. I was actually thinking about, like, okay, so a couple of years ago, remember how COVID was supposed to be the end of the world?
Yeah.
And then, like, 10 years before that, it was the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
And then 10 years before that, It was the Iraqi war.
Yeah.
And then before that, it was Y2K.
Mm-hmm.
How many fucking apocalypses are we going to have to go through?
Right.
Like, at this point, it just feels like every time that somebody comes in and they're like, oh, global warming, suicide bombers, it's like, yep, it's Tuesday.
Oh, you got me going now. Oh. You got me going. I'm about to enter the flow state.
Oh, shit.
You know, you're right about that. People are so quick now to call everything the harbinger of the apocalypse. Oh, this is going to usher in the apocalypse. Yada, yada. You got to think, for starters, how many times has somebody predicted the apocalypse and it not come true? And these people never stop and think, you know, maybe I don't really know what I'm talking about. Like, yeah, I said it was the apocalypse five times. None of them were. Do I ever stop and just think to myself, you know, I actually fucking suck at predicting the apocalypse.
Like, maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, because it's been like 6 months and I've had to push back the apocalypse date.
Imagine you're like, okay, guys, it's actually a little bit later. We pushed the deadline back.
So just like cult leader standards, like, oh yeah, the spaceship to come and take us are going to be here in 2 months. Okay, we'll shave our heads, give you all our money. 2 months later. Actually, they said January. I think they messed up. They're aliens. So, yeah. You know, it's probably June. I mean,
and there are like people in certain societies where for that society, let's say it was the apocalypse. So let's say you're in Pompeii before the volcano exploded. And everybody just got turned to ash.
That one homeless person out there with this ye olde cardboard. Yes! Yeah! No!
I mean, yeah, for your group of people, maybe that was the apocalypse. But apocalypse is global, right? Like,
Well, it's the ending, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the end. So if humans continue to live somewhere, I mean, no, it's not the apocalypse.
Well, I mean, three people in a bunker in a nuclear fallout wasteland.
True, okay. You're right about that. But if in some areas of the world, things continue as normal, it's not really the apocalypse.
Yeah, like if COVID was like anywhere close to as deadly as they said it was going to be, and there were just like 50 people out in Alaska.
But I want to pick up on the apocalypse topic with a rant and rave.
Ooh.
As you know, that's my most passionate moments.
Give it to the audience.
So trust, if there's ever going to be an apocalypse, I would argue it's going to be centered around a complete dissolving of trust. And now we're seeing that. People don't trust their government. They don't trust their family. They don't trust the police. They don't trust each other. People are growing increasingly distrustful.
There is that 1 out of 10 dentists that does not recommend Colgate.
Exactly. And what kind of monster do you have to be to be that guy? But I say this to go, there's a statement that floats around now that is used like water. Like, it's literally as common as drinking water. And it's this.
Morning, pick me up.
Something big is coming. I can feel it. Something big is coming. That's one.
Well, I mean,
it's like you said something big was coming.
8, 9, 10, 12,
30 fucking times.
I mean, if you keep saying something, eventually it might be correct, I guess.
They're engagement farming. Like, oh, something big is coming. You found out that Hillary Clinton had a black coffee for breakfast. Something big is coming.
Pizzagate. Coffeegate.
I'm like, dude, just shut the fuck up. Something big is coming. Yeah, Samsung told us for years the next big thing, and they didn't deliver a single fucking time.
Hey, they didn't remove any, you know, charging ports or headphone jacks. So,
but
like,
they did make an exploding dryer.
You win some, you lose some, really. I mean, is it as bad as like Hezbollah's exploding pagers?
But we're just such a rhetoric-based society now. Oh, something big is coming. Something big is coming. And that is coupled with its sister statement, which is, what are they covering up while this is going on? What are they trying to hide from us while this is going on? We're at a point where Vladimir Putin could drop a bomb on China and explode the whole nation today. And half of you motherfuckers would say, what are they hiding? This is just a a smoke screen for the real controversy. And I'm like, bro, it's not. Like, there, we've hit a point where every event now, every single event, someone will say it's a cover up for something more sinister. Like Diddy, for instance.
I think, honestly, they kept him on the back burner, though. I mean,
the back burner, yeah. But I'm saying now that it's out, the Diddy thing is out, people are saying it's a cover up for something even crazier going on. There are things that are going to happen publicly, guys, that aren't cover ups. They're just chaotic shit that's actually happening. It, like, everyone says everything's a cover up now. Like,
well, I mean, you can't predict everything. Something big will happen eventually.
Yeah. Not everything is a cover up, and no, not something big isn't always coming. Sorry.
This is definitely not a PSYOP brought to you by the local U.S. government.
Yeah, I'm not me trying to turn people into non-conspiracy people. No, I'm not saying that. It's just, it irks me how quick people are to say something big is coming. Well, what are they trying to hide from us? Nothing. If somebody assassinates Trump, what are they trying to hide from us? This is the main event, motherfucker. It's the entree.
But everybody loves that end credit scene, okay? Yeah. They just want to see, like, behind the fact that they were all robots. That Trump never existed in the first place. He was just a lizard person plant 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. No, sometimes the entree is the entree, okay? There's no encore.
And sometimes it's not even the entree. You just get a side of fries and get told to fuck yourself. Like, remember back in the day, it was Pizzagate. That dude went into a pizzeria with a shotgun. Yeah. Thinking that there's going to be like a slave camp situation with children.
So, speaking of truth, you just got fact checked on the live stream.
Oh, snap.
We got someone in the chat saying Samsung, in fact, did remove the headphone jack.
No! My only source of self-righteous indignation.
So, yeah. But for you at home, I want to let you know something very important. So take this to heart. Something big is coming. And whatever you're seeing today is a cover-up for something much bigger behind the scenes. Remember that, and you'll be okay. Remember, if you know something big is coming, you're going to be okay. It's going to help you. You're going to save your family. You're going to save your friends. You're going to have food to eat in the apocalypse. Everything's going to be okay as long as you listen to this one message. Something big is coming. And anything you see, anything you read, anything you hear, taste, feel, or touch is merely a cover-up for a far more sinister motive. If you can ingrain that into your spirit,
you will be the sole survivor during the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because you're the only one to think to raid a Walmart.
So, yeah. For any content creator out there using that language, get fucked.
Seriously.
Today.
Like, yeah, there's some shady stuff going on, but there's been shady stuff going on since God crapped out the third caveman and the other two decided to kill him. Like, it just is what it is. Like, there's always going to be something behind the curtain that you're not going to find out about. Like, I'm pretty sure that how many of those articles did you read back in the 2000s? Like, the U.S. government has been found out mixing animal DNA and people DNA?
Plenty. I've seen them plenty of times.
And yet, we've yet to see a single one.
Well, that's because, you know, not to be disrespectful to your point, that's because they're using cover-ups so that we never find out. Like, the Diddy story is probably only a story because the first human-animal hybrid is actually walking out among us.
Oh, my God.
But they used Diddy to keep that story out of the headlines.
11 months ago, Miami, the aliens. I was so pissed because in my heart, I wanted it to be true.
I would love... An alien encounter, I would love if that actually happened in my lifetime, because that would be the next big thing. I mean,
that would be. And see, the only reason that aliens would come would either be A, because they are oh so benevolent, which is above us.
Mm-hmm.
B, they want something from us. And if they can travel 2.5 billion miles away to get it,
they must really want what they're coming for.
And they're not going to be coming unarmed.
Yeah.
Or thirdly, they need somebody to pump their space gas.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of space gas, have you heard about the recent galaxy gas trend?
Oh, that stuff from
people
Walmart.
Are calling it Whippets or something. Like, it's like a version of Whip. I don't know what Whippets are, but I know what galaxy gas is.
Okay, well, let me break it down to you as a hedonist. Okay, so back in my day of the year 2000, they made whipped cream with a mixture of gases, one of which is nitrous oxide.
Yeah, like laughing gas.
Bingo. Now, what kids used to do, because we couldn't always get a hold of beers, and we couldn't always go ahead and find that fine marijuana just laying around the house.
Yeah.
So what you do is you take your mom's whipped cream can, put it up to your face, suck it up, and then there you go. You've got the goofy legs. Now they just cut out the whipped cream.
Yeah. And this company that's selling galaxy gas is marketing it like it's an actual food product. Like, you add it to your whipped cream bottle and it'll do something.
Wink, wink.
But if you look at the branding, it looks like a vape. Like, well, I mean, not what you're using looks like. The branding is vape-like.
Goo Boo Berry Blast. Orange Thruster. Yeah,
exactly. And so, like, it's coming. It's becoming the next thing. The next big thing, if you will.
Oh.
Galaxy gas.
Well, at least it's not a morning pick-me-up. I can just see the anger in your eyes right now. No, but like, it does kind of piss me off that we can let something clearly marketed towards kids like that. Like, it feels scummy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
and it's no offense to your product, Galaxy Gas. I'm sure that you are very good individuals on your throne of Galaxy Gas.
I mean, we're going to try Galaxy Gas. I'm definitely planning to try it. One thing about me is I will try a substance.
Yeah, I mean, I watched this man freebase meth for a week just to quit it.
Just to quit it. I love to quit it. It lets me know I'm superior to you fucking addicts out there. Nothing I like more than getting addicted just to quit it. Like, I took Hit It and Quit It to a new level.
You just hit it and then you put it down because you don't need it anymore.
It's fun. That's the fun for drugs with me, is to use and abuse them and then abandon them.
Just like all of my kids. Respect. Respect.
Yeah, speaking of a quick tangent, but it's something I want to bring up. I just found this story very funny. We all know about the hurricane recently that hit some parts of the U.S.
Helen.
That's not funny, but one story is there's a company called Impact Plastics,
mm-hmm.
and they're based somewhere in, I want to say, East Tennessee. And the company's name is Impact Plastics, and wherever they're stationed, the hurricane did an immense amount of damage to their warehouse. And it ended up killing two of their employees because they instructed their employees to stay and not leave during the hurricane. So,
is it built like a storm shelter or something? Or?
No, but you know how employers are.
Oh, okay. So Waffle House rules.
But the funny part about the story is their name is Impact Plastics. And at least two of their employees suffered at least a couple of impacts.
Yeah, but by water.
Well, like, we don't know what it was.
I mean, I have a pretty good guess. I mean, if I was a betting man, and I am in some circles, it's a real fucking problem.
It could have been plastics.
Maybe falling on top of them because of the water. That's like saying that somebody died from COVID when they got hit by a bus. Yes, they were blowing their nose, but that doesn't count.
Well, it depends on what time they're in.
Oh, okay.
If it's peak COVID time, yeah, that's a COVID death. Because if they weren't coughing, or wheezing, they would have gotten out of the way of that bus.
Yeah, I mean, who cares that he was standing on the sidewalk?
But yeah. That company, man. They lost two employees to an impact.
Man, it was an impact. It was a very impactful fucking hurricane.
That's rough.
I mean, hearts and thoughts and prayers goes out to the families of those people. But definitely, fuck that company. I'm sorry. You aren't Waffle House,
Bill. Fuck you, Impact Plastics.
I'm sorry. You're not Waffle House. You don't get to stay open during the apocalypse. Send your people home. They want to die in a twister because their house got thrown into the fucking stratosphere. That's on them.
Exactly. I'd rather die of my own poor choices than die from some company ordained recommendation. Stay at the company.
Unless it's built like a fort made to withstand that shit. No, I quit. Bye.
Yeah.
Deuces.
You're pulling out of the parking lot. Your car just takes off in the hurricane like fucking Harry Potter or some shit.
Man, I'm not going to lie.
He was a good man. A hard working man.
And not a very smart man. The hurricane was already here. Which, by the way, if you know the hurricane's coming, let them go. Oh my God. They had no right to do
let
that.
Let my people go.
Ooh.
Yeah. Impact Plastics. You guys are absolute degenerates. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah. Sorry. Not a fan. Not a fan. And even if you were to send in some samples of your product, it's kind of ruined because I'm pretty sure I'm going to find, you know, hair and teeth in it. But like, do they make plastic, like plastic siding or?
I don't know what they do. I saw the story on TikTok and I just thought it was funny.
Didn't that submarine teach them anything? That plastic isn't made for hurricanes or the bottom of the ocean. It's not made for water.
It's hard to beat that innate desire in humans to just go to the depths of the ocean under immense pressure. I mean, at some point in your life, you're going to get that kick.
Under pressure. Ding, 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 ding.
And then you're going to have to decide, am I going to take the risk or am I going to pussy out?
I think that's white people syndrome. Like, I'm sorry. I feel like that taking insane risks, like marrying a tree or owning a tiger just for shits and giggles or a chimpanzee. That's guys. That is Florida man energy.
Florida man energy.
Which ironically is red because of the sunburns.
You know, someone who's got an immense amount of Florida man energy. I think he's even spent a lot of his time in Florida. Lana Del Rey's new husband.
Oh, the
the Gator tourist.
Oh, the one from New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He grew up in Florida.
See, that explain why he go ahead and talk around with them turtles.
How do you pull Lana Del Rey being an alligator tourist?
What you do is you tell her that any one of these you want me to turn into one of them purses, shall. I get you a new pair of boots, new pair of shoes, new pair of hats, and some bells and some entente food.
Yeah, that's crazy, man.
Well, I'll tell you right now, like them New Orleans people, their gumbo, I would eat a nun from the legs up.
Okay.
Just to get some of their gumbo. I mean, they make...
Maybe this could be like a 10,000 subscriber mark.
We got to find a nun. And find one that's cool with cannibalism. But, like, I'm just saying, like, their food is always that perfect mix of meat, sweet, and heat. My God. New Orleans, say what you want about your heroin problem, but my God, y'all bring it in the kitchen.
New Orleans, it's because they're, like, that perfect mix. They got so many immigrants. They're like, it's just such a blend.
They got French hillbillies. I wish I had the creativity to make that.
Yeah. Like, they get some of the most creative dishes out, truly.
We just gonna take a little bit of hog's foot, three crawdads, a cob of corn, and some tomato, and we gonna make something so good, Shell. It's gonna blow your mind and your colon. Like, again, if you would have told me that we had French hillbillies growing up, I would have never believed you.
We do.
What a culture pot America is. Cheers to that. I wonder if the Ohio Ethiopians are going to be, the Ohio Haiti people are going to end up like that.
Probably. See, people hate them now because they ate their cats and dogs.
Allegedly, Chad.
But wait until they start putting out their cuisine, like their dishes.
Could you imagine if they become the new Chinese food? I will fucking die. I will fucking die.
Imagine you go to one of their restaurants and you end up getting served your own cat.
Oh. You know, I miss Whiskers, but, you know, like, I'm actually sad that I'm not going to be able to get seconds. Like, I...
Dude, speaking of eating cats and dogs, one thing that's always crazy to me is how much of a role attraction plays when it comes to quality of life.
Mm.
We know it plays a big role as humans. You know, pretty privileged, as they say.
Oh, yeah. People that are attractive get photo deals and such while they're in prison.
But the animal kingdom has their share of pretty privilege. And you got to think, as an animal, seeing a dog when you're like a fucking possum.
Oh, God. The envy that must flow through their blood.
It's so unfair. Like, okay, well, why do we run over possums and shoot them when we see them? Well, they're ugly.
Well, they're varmints, as it were.
But, you know, my...
Skippy.
Yeah, my dog Skippy, he's a pretty boy.
Yeah, look at that beagle face. You just squish that face. You know, you just... Oh, look at him. He's gorgeous. Pretty boy. Pretty boy. Pretty
boy. Pretty boy. Pretty boy. Pretty boy. It's like, even animals, if you're pretty, you get to have an easy life.
Or if you're not a dick. I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't care how cute a wasp is. Fuck them as a species. You heard me, wasps. Come for me. Try and cancel me. I'll wait. Like, that is something that has kind of bothered me for, like, the longest time. Moths and butterflies are virtually indistinguishable.
True.
I mean, one of them's got brighter colors, one of them doesn't, but they basically do the same thing. They just fly around and not try and bother anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But the second you see a moth, let's squish it. See a butterfly? Oh, that's sign of life and beginning new. And
yeah. It's like beauty is a thing. Like, it supersedes our animal instinct.
Oh, amen to that. And we at the BMMA, Big Mommy Milkers Association, subsidiary of Goth IHOP, sub-branch of the Trap Waffle House. If you're pretty, you're family.
Yeah, and I just want to make it clear, there's nothing beautiful about Big Mommy Milkers. They're very unbalanced. They kind of wreck the female form.
All the better for me to have to help hold them. All right, and
you're a giving man.
Exactly. I will take that weight off their back and put it onto my hands out of just solidarity with those with Big Mommy Milkers.
I see.
That, if there isn't a charity to give to. Oh, speaking of which, did I tell you that we finally got a food deal?
Oh, what's our food deal?
Oh, well, us over here at BMMA, a subsidiary of Goth IHOP, a subsidiary of Trap Waffle House, we have come out with the solution to the Beast-em-ups.
What's Beast-em-ups?
The Feastables, as
well. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. We have come up with a meal solution for those trying to obtain thick thighs that save lives.
Okay.
And I say this with all the sincerity in my heart. We have now come out with a food deal, and it is for all you ladies out there, men included, who want to look like ladies. We call them thickums. It's a single candy bar and a handful of butter served in a cardboard box.
Where can I buy?
It'll be in the merch shop.
Okay.
And this is high processed butter. We processed it once. We said that's not good enough. We clarified it, threw more fat into it, some beef tallow, and some garlic, just in case you guys
want to get... Okay, now we're talking.
Yeah, just in case you ladies want to go ahead and get a little saucy. We did it just for you, because no one should have to walk around with thin thighs. On God.
Sacrilegious right here. Thin thighs save lives.
Thin
guys at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Bags full of coat hangers, indeed. If I wanted to date Skeletor, I'd go back to huffing meth. But there, AK, I wish I could break down that big is beautiful.
Big, I mean, can be beautiful.
Big is beautiful. Have you not seen Lizzo? Have you not listened to all the announcements? She is beautiful.
Well, she's trying to lose weight.
That bitch gonna ruin my argument mid-argument.
She's losing weight as we speak. She's on an all cricket diet.
Almost broke my heart there for a second. At least she's eating something sustainable. Lizzo, if you ever hungry, baby, do you just go ahead and give us those phone call numbers? We will hook you up with some thickums. Get you back to a proper weight where you can smother somebody legally to death with your ass cheeks.
What's your passions, Mr. Furman?
My passions is to bring joy to the world, even though I am a terrible person.
If somebody asked you, if you only had one thing you could do to bring joy to the world, if you only had one choice you could make, what would you say?
I would say bring laughter, because we seldomly get as much as we should.
And how would you bring laughter to the world?
By being an absolute buffoon as much as I can, to show both hypocrisy and double standards where I can. Or to give everyone, man and woman, big mommy milkers.
Damn.
Level the playing field.
Well, that would be a competitive market.
Well, I'm just saying, worst case scenario, we move over from man milkers and then we put those into the ball sacks. Boom. Think about it. Equal rights, equal fights.
Hey, okay. Sounds good to me.
What about you? If you had one chance, one shot, as it were, to have an opportunity, a once in a lifetime, would you lose yourself?
One shot to what?
To make the world a better place. What are you bringing to the table?
Yeah, I would just get the message across that the single biggest issue with human nature is the lack of self-validation. And there's no way to get self-validation but to blink your eyes and have it. There's no way to get it but to simply make it appear within your conscious. Like, you can't work your way to self-validating. You have to just innately manifest it. And almost all of human suffering stems from people's complete inability to find value in their own existence. And when you have no value in your own existence, you begin to impose yourself onto the world in a way that creates many, many problems.
Okay, now when you say self-validation,
mm-hmm.
does that mean acceptance? Does that mean self-love? Or does that mean coming to terms with the fact that you are human? Eventually you're going to fuck up, and that's okay.
I think it's kind of a blend. If I had to attribute it or give an analogy, an animal never thinks, is it worthy of life? If an animal can breathe, eat, and fuck, it's more than validated. It exists as it is purely in nature. Whereas humans, we can breathe, and we can eat, and we can fuck, and we can have, by animal standards, a great life. But we're not enough. We're not worthy. our existence isn't, it doesn't justify itself. And so what we do is we LARP onto achievement and gain over others, our personal conquests or achievements, etc. We try and do all these things to gain that sense of internal validation. And that ends up creating a lot of victims.
Well, see, like, you can actually see that in animals, too. You can see a lot of, I have more bananas. Ooh, 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 ooh. That means I'm bigger. I am better.
Mm-hmm. But they never stop to think. For instance, the beta monkeys, after they've lost to the alpha, they accept the position. And then they enact. They act as the beta in the tribe. Mm-hmm. They accept the position. They don't go, am I worth... I know that's different because they don't have like the ability to articulate like we do.
Or social constructs.
But they're cemented in their positions. And I truly believe validation as a sentient being, if you can live, if you're still given the gift of life and you're maintaining it, that is the validation in and of itself. You are worthy of existence. Nature deemed it upon you. Your worth was given to you by nature, because you simply are.
Okay, so by virtue of being human and knowing that you only have one life, therefore you're valid.
Yes.
I feel like that would hinder a lot of like personal growth. Like,
yeah.
I mean, because if you're already just satisfied with who you are, no matter what happens,
mm-hmm.
then that leaves nowhere for God's implements, you know.
Shame. So here's where I would go. This is where the detachment needs to take place. Because what happens is, you're right about that, it could hinder growth severely.
Mm.
If your worth is attached to the worldly, to the world. But if you look at it like a game, the worth remains, right? It never goes away. It's there. But what you do in the world is a game. Like, it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be played and enjoyed. It's not meant to be so personal.
What if then, that's where you find your value?
Well, then you have an innate problem.
You're too much of a contributor.
Well, the problem should be... No, not the problem. Your worth should be an absolute on its own without the world to... You shouldn't need the world to do the validating. And you're right. Without the need to be a contributor.
Okay, well, see, that's where a lot of people, at the end of their lives, they go net positive, net negative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would argue that even having a net negative at the end of your life can be a positive. Because some of our most beautiful artists, some of our most touching songs, some of our most withstanding art pieces come from people who came from a net negative household.
True.
I'm pretty sure that fucking Vincent Van Gogh cutting off his own ear, you know, that wasn't a super happy guy. Frida Kahlo having to grow up with an eyebrow that stretched from one side of her face to the other. I'm pretty sure she didn't get compliments on that all the time.
Right.
I'm pretty sure somebody was like, there's a centipede on your face at least once in her life.
Right.
But beauty can spring from even negative things.
True.
And I feel like you're right in that aspect. Like, self-love and self-validation are good. But I feel like it's good in moderation. Like, you don't need to be Louis C.K. levels of love yourself in front of people into a household plant.
You just need to not be able... You need to be able to take whatever the world throws at you and not have it compromise your internal being.
Mm.
Like, no matter how bad the circumstance.
Okay, so how do you determine who you are versus who you can be if you learn from your experiences? Does that change you at your core, or does that change you at a surface level?
I think it can change your core, because ultimately consciousness wants to expand.
Mm.
And so you're always seeking something that's going to give you, more of a depth to your being, like more of a depth to how you understand and relate to existence. So can it change your core? I would say, yeah, you could definitely change your core via things of that nature.
Well, I mean, like, that's kind of one of those Daedalus ships kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that one?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Let's say that you start with a perfectly good boat, right? It's a wood boat, biblical style. Planks, nails, that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's say one day you notice that a plank's rotting.
Mm-hmm.
You do your best to save it, but you realize that you can't, so you replace it. And you do that over 100 years. Now, let's say that there is no original pieces from the first boat on there.
Right.
Is it still the same ship?
I mean, to an effect, no. But if you're using that analogy in terms of how we are as humans, I don't believe this physical body and even my brain are who I am. I believe there's a third party operator, a spirit behind my physical being that controls it. And so, like, if my body would be the ship.
Okay, so kind of the light behind the candle.
Yeah. So I do think your entire physical makeup and even your way of thinking can be changed over time to where, in effect, you're an entirely different person. But the spirit that caused the change is what you really are.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, like, I do believe that there's a third part in the human experience that nobody ever thinks about, because 9 times out of 10, nobody can tell you who they are. They can give you a name.
True.
They can go, my name is John Smith. I live on such and such block. No. Who are you? What exactly do you want? I want to be happy. What does that mean? I just want to be content no matter what, even when things are bad.
So here's what we're going to do. We're about to up the energy. Ooh. We're upping the energy before we go out. I ain't leaving you guys on this slowness, ease.
We're dropping the serious gloves.
I'm coming for all you filthy contributors out there.
Oh, shit.
The final point of the night is take a look in the mirror. Are you a contributor? If so, you've got some changing to do. Contribution is one of the single most dangerous things you can do.
Anything's dangerous if you do it in excess.
People out here are like, oh, if I don't contribute, then I'm not providing value. Oh, if I don't contribute, I'm not worthy. I have to get my point across. I have to say this part in the meeting. Corporate America, bureaucracy, government. You're like, where's all these problems coming from? Why are there so many problems? Why does the government suck? Why do companies suck? Why is everything getting worse?
It's all a top-down issue.
It's because nestled in these organizations, there are filthy leeches I call contributors, but not real contribution. And here's what they do. There are many people out here who get paid good incomes to do hardly anything but give their opinions. More often than not, when a system is working, a company is successful, a process is working, one of the best things you can do is not change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Amen to that.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what you have is a group of people called the contributors, people who must contribute just to breathe. Like, oh, if I don't say something, I'm just going to suffocate.
I'm just going to explode because I have ideas whether or not they're good.
And this class of people, what they do is they end up over-speaking, over-contributing, and giving the most base level degenerate input possible. And it leaches into all of these companies and all of these organizations. And people get to write it off as like, yeah, I did a good job. Like, yeah, I really added something today at the meeting. But no, what you did was a net negative. You added less.
You took away from things that actually did matter.
You took away from what did matter. You took away from what was already working. So, yeah, look yourself in the mirror and go, do I have to contribute? If you feel like you have to contribute, you're in the wrong frame of mind.
Whether or not what you have to contribute is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
If you're contributing to wasting time, effort, and brain cells on something that isn't worthwhile, take a second to step back and practice some mindfulness.
Some stoicism.
Some, is this really worth bringing up in the middle of a meeting that dung beetles can breathe through their assholes? No, Tom, sit down. Sit back down. I know we're going to get a Tom eventually, and I hope you don't take this personally, but Tom, sit down.
There's multiple reasons why good things go wrong, right? But this is a huge piece of that phenomenon. You got to think, in times in history when things were going really good, like everything was going right, somebody said, you know what? I've got an idea. And that was the beginning of the end.
Mm.
A perfect system, and somebody says, you know what? I've got an idea.
The Roman Senate sitting there, oh, you know what? We have this one guy to be king, and he's just a child, but, you know, I have an idea. This guy Caligula, he sounds like he's got some good shit going on.
So think before you contribute. Think. It's okay. Take a breather. Ease into it.
Have a poop and a cigarette.
You're enough. I promise, you're enough. Ease into your ideas.
Practice some mindfulness. Is this needed? Is it wanted? And does this add value?
Or you can just willy-nilly have ideas and
do what the human race has been doing for thousands of years and running dick first into stupid conversations that don't need to be there.
You know what would really benefit society? We already tax people on their housing.
Mm.
What if we started taxing them on their driveways? Like the literal like mileage that they spend in the driveway, if we added like a tax to that.
I swear to God, you have just broken your own tenant right now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That these people are among us.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, occasionally, there are some good ones that spring out from that. But the problem is that they're drowned by an ocean of stupidity.
An ocean of stupidity. And because I actually think human nature, like I said, is mostly good. And when you have 100 people doing a job that isn't physical, that's just meeting, you're going to get a lot of a shit.
A lot of wasted potential.
And so we have Congress. And we have the Senate.
The biggest waste of money since money burning became a thing on TikTok. I've actually seen $100,000 get spent more contributively on TikTok videos just being thrown into a barrel. I mean, a literal house payment just into a straight barrel just for entertainment rather than Congress.
I'd be like, so, honey, what did you do today? Well, I really contributed. I voted no 3 times today and called it a day. I voted no 3 times.
Cool. How long do you have to go back? Oh, you know, 8 months. But, you know, what's going to happen?
There's some politician, his name escapes me, but he's like 30 or 40 years in the game. He has never successfully helped pass a single piece of legislation. Ever.
Fucking useless. I believe it should be left up to the state whether or not these people should be publicly executed. If you have to show up for 3 days out of the year, accumulatively, to incite any sort of change in your government, and you still fuck that up, no.
Yeah.
No. You get to be dragged out. And you get to go ahead and get drugged behind a Ford F-150. By the way, thanks for sponsoring us, Ford. Built tough. American tough.
The Cybertruck's got nothing on you guys. You don't have to worry.
The 4x4, always going to be a banger. But
yeah, that's really all I had. I just go, you could really be a net negative if you're an over-contributor.
Yeah, because at a certain point, you stop being a hand to help up your fellow man, and you become a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just become a different version of weed or liquor or cigarettes.
Well, it's like Churchill is considered one of the greatest leaders of all time.
Interesting fact on him after you're done.
But post the war, he was very unliked. He became very unliked. And it's like there are people who can handle a crisis, right? Because they're built that way. They're built to contribute.
Yeah, that neurotic doctor that spends half his time on Adderall is great in a surgery or diagnosing somebody.
But when things are too good, it's peace times.
And he's still...
This motherfucker's like, I'm going to just flip the fucking table. Like, oh.
Just for shits and giggles.
I ain't built for the peace.
I'm built for the war. Like, and that's... Some people are just built alternatively different.
Very much so.
Not everybody can be good in all times. Some men are warriors in gardens, and some men are gardeners in wars.
Yeah. But then, you do have your masters, your SpongeBobs among us.
Oh, yeah. You've got your few jack-of-all-trades masters of quite a bit, but not all.
Yep.
But
so, any last remarks?
If I had a couple of inspiring words to go ahead and give to the audience, it was Mark Twain that once said that it is impossible to be sane and happy at the same time. And be that as it may, you must strive for both in this imperfect world. And that might be a bit of a serious note to go out on. Mm. But you know what? I like to live by those words.
I like that, and I'll expand on it in a future episode. But I'll agree with you with this quote. In an impossible situation, not in your favor, the truth is completely useless. And as always, stay in the light.
Remember, stay positive, test negative.